Good morning.
So we're going to spend a little time in Genesis today. It's Creation Sunday. Some churches do this. We don't do this every year, but we thought it would be good. It's such a good time of year to celebrate God's amazing creation that we get to see and enjoy. I hope you got to spend some time outdoors this summer enjoying the beautiful place that we live, as I said before. I think Pastor Chris and I are really excited about fall, especially hiking season, which we believe really starts about a month or so, and then continues as long as we can stand it. We're looking forward to that. What a beautiful world God has given us. But we know that it's not all, and you see in the scripture passage, it's not always beautiful and enjoyable. God's creation is not always as still as a beautiful, quiet lake. Creation can be destructive when storms are brewing, when disasters are happening. When we see news of disasters far away or maybe closer to home, I think often we feel helpless. We feel for the people affected and yet wonder what we can do. I know I've had a hard time watching news of West Coast wildfires, especially in my home state of California. It's hotter and drier there than it used to be when I was a kid. We always had wildfires occasionally, but now it's like fire season. It's something that we come to expect every summer and fall. One of my friends has a home near South Lake Tahoe, and she's evacuated, and it's usually green year-round there, just lush, and it's so close to the mountains, but they're evacuated due to the Cal River fires spread. And seeing the images of Hurricane Ida flooding the subways in New York City way beyond where she should have been making an impact in what we might call a normal hurricane season. Not that we don't also think of those who live where they expect to have hurricanes. It's hard to see people suffering from these disasters. And besides donating money to good organizations that help people, which is a very good thing, they seem to come faster than we can respond. And sometimes we start to feel numb as we see so much suffering around us. So we celebrate God's creation today, but we also lament the brokenness of God's creation, that which is not as God intended when He created our good world. World Vision is a relief agency, and they do child sponsorship all over the world. They're a Christian group. They actually partner with the Evangelical Covenant Church for a child sponsorship program in the Democratic Republic of Congo. But World Vision says that natural disaster is a misnomer because disasters happen to people who are particularly vulnerable to that hazard. So they say hazards, so that would be like the storm or the earthquake. Hazards times vulnerability of the people who live there equals how disastrous this particular thing is. Some examples. 2010, Haiti and Chile had similar earthquakes, just a few months apart, similar magnitude. But in Haiti, the destruction of homes and buildings and loss of life and just the general upheaval and destruction of the infrastructure was so much worse. Because Chile is a wealthier country, was more prepared, had more earthquake preparedness, things like place, and Haiti was not as prepared and did not have as strong of a situation to begin with going into the hazard, the earthquake itself. Another example, Bangladesh had a terrible cyclone event in 1991. High wind speeds and the and there was just, it was terrible loss of life and loss of buildings. But then they worked hard to create early warning systems and some other, they put some things in place to try to be better prepared. And so in 2007, there was a similar storm, about the same strength, wind speeds, and they fared much better because they were prepared. So our third example is from our scripture that we heard today. Just to remind you of the beginning of this story, Joseph was trafficked across an international border, sold into slavery by his own brothers. In Egypt, Joseph's life was a series of just some of the steepest ups and downs you can imagine. He just experienced catastrophe after catastrophe, but in between kind of catastrophes, God would give him favor and would lift him up. When our reading began, Joseph was in prison, it says he was in the dungeon, for a crime that he did not commit. 2 years before, he had helped a royal official get out of prison and was hoping that the man would remember him. But he had forgotten. That man forgot all about Joseph. So Joseph remained in prison for those 2 more years. Until one day, Pharaoh, the king, had a bad dream. He wanted to know what it meant, because people took dreams seriously back then. Pharaoh wanted someone to interpret, but his wisest advisors couldn't do it. Then that official remembered Joseph and interpreted his dream for him 2 years ago. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh. "But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." So Joseph listened to the dream, and with God's help, he told Pharaoh that the 7 fat, healthy cows and the 7 full heads of grain represent 7 good years, an abundant harvest. The 7 thin cows and the 7 heads of grain that were scorched by the east wind are 7 years of famine and drought and trouble that will follow. Joseph, with God's help, suggested that the king pick, that they save 1/5 of the grain harvest in those 7 good years and store it up for use in the 7 bad years. So then Pharaoh made Joseph his second in command. Joseph oversaw the entire project of saving grain, preparing for the famine years. So in one day, Joseph emerged from the dungeon to second only to Pharaoh of all the land, being the second most powerful person in all of Egypt. Sure enough, the time came for the need for the extra grain that had been saved. First, Egyptians came looking for food. But then other lands around Egypt came looking for food because they had not been prepared as Egypt was, and the famine was widespread. And the day came when Joseph's brothers came down from Canaan to Egypt because they were running out of food. And the beauty of the story is that Joseph ended up saving his brothers' lives, even though they had hurt him so terribly, even though their actions were inexcusable. But God saved Joseph and his family. God worked through Joseph to save his family. this is a pretty special family, right? This is God's chosen family, the family that goes back to Abraham and Sarah, and after Joseph goes over to King David, and then Jesus of Nazareth. For today's message, what I most want us to see in this passage is that while the drought and famine affected the entire region, Egypt was not as vulnerable. Thanks to God's message to Pharaoh, interpreted by Joseph, and Egypt's responsiveness, Egypt was prepared. I'm sure they didn't eat like all their favorite foods in those 7 years, but they more than survived. They had what they needed to get through a hard time. The nations surrounding Egypt were more vulnerable, less prepared. Egypt was in a position to help, to be a blessing to those around them. But people without silver or any money, as we would call it, were the most vulnerable. Because the Egyptians, while willing to help the nations around them, they did charge a fee for that service. They did have to pay for the food. Hazard multiplied by vulnerability equals the level of disaster. Now I want to quote World Vision again, a Christian relief organization. They say, and I'm quoting here, climate change is making hazards more intense and more frequent, but the most vulnerable are still most badly affected. Disaster events becoming more frequent, vulnerable people have less time to recover before the next disaster, so push further into poverty and vulnerability. World Vision also says that climate change is the result of the industrialization of the wealthiest countries and linked to excessive consumption and greed, but it is those least responsible worldwide that suffer the most as a result. That's the bad news today. The brokenness of God's wonderful creation. Broken by when sin entered the world. Hurting the most vulnerable in God's creation first and most. The good news in this equation is that by God's grace, we can reduce our excessive consumption and greed, reducing our contribution to increasing hazards. And with God's help, we can work to lower that vulnerability factor for those who live on the margins, making hazards less disastrous for them. Care for God's creation does not mean that we do not care about people. It's not like a binary choice between the tree or your neighbor. Like, you gotta pick one. That's not what it is. The truth is that God's creation is our only source of life. Joseph's brothers couldn't eat their silver. We can't eat our money. The truth is that if we don't care for God's creation and steward it well, as He put us, the reason He put us in here in the garden, we are actually hurting our neighbors, near and far. The reality of the brokenness of God's creation can be overwhelming. I mean, sometimes I feel really discouraged about it and like giving up. But I didn't want us to leave today's message without some ways to respond, some steps that we can take even today and this week to act on God's grace within us and carry for God's creation and our neighbor as a result. The first thing I want to mention is covenant, world relief, and development. I trust them. I trust them to get the money to people in need and not spend like half of it on administration and fundraising as some groups do. They have wonderful partners on the ground here in the U.S. and all over the world, mainly churches who know the people and know the needs. They meet the needs, the immediate needs of the most vulnerable in our world. They respond to disasters, already involved responding to the most recent earthquake in Haiti and providing help there. But they also do some really good preventative work year-round to help make people less vulnerable before the disasters come. So like clean water and farming practices that are good and small loans to lift people out of poverty for good, and peacemaking projects, because war will just ruin all progress and set people back so far. So we'll do an annual focus in November on Covenant World Relief and Development, but I didn't want you to feel like you had to wait for November to respond to the news you are seeing about people who need help now. So I'm going to put a link on our Facebook page if you want to give online. You can also just find their address and send a check if that's easier. So giving to Covenant World Relief and Development is one idea. Another, could we consume less this week? I started thinking about this for myself. Could we drive less? Maybe walk or bike some, depending on where you live. Could we do something very countercultural? Could we be grateful for what we have today and where we are, instead of always pining after that other thing that we want or that we feel would make our lives more exciting or easier? Could we be grateful and consume a little less this week? With those two challenges, I want to pray. Please join me in prayer. Creator God, as Joseph could not interpret Pharaoh's dream without you, we know that we cannot reduce our own greed one bit without your grace working in our lives. Your power taking us off of the superhighway of excessive consumption onto a quieter path, moving at a saner pace. We pray that with your help we might be good stewards of your wonderful creation that you've set us in. And that by doing so we might love our neighbors near and far, as Jesus himself commanded.